You're listening to Island Tribe Radio with Peggy Rubenzelis and Woody Pollack, where we talk programs, parenting, and good, clean family fun.
Our guest today is Alex Craighead. Alex has a master's in teaching from Seattle University and is the co-founder and program director for the nonprofit Journeyman Institute. Journeyman cultivates transformational experiences for boys and men through nature-based rites of passage, ongoing mentorship, and support circles in schools.
Welcome, Alex Craighead, to the Island Tribe.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Alex is known as Mr. C at Chautauqua Elementary. He's one of the PE teachers there, part of the PE staff. And Alex has a master's degree from Seattle U, a master's in teaching from Seattle U. And he's also the program director and one of the founding members of the Journeyman Institute, which is a 501c3 foundation based here on Vashon, working with boys and men. And I'm not going to steal a whole lot of the explanation and steal your thunder, but we're going to get into that at some point today. So welcome. So glad to have an opportunity to talk with you, Alex.
Welcome, Alex.
Appreciate it, y'all. And thanks again for having me. I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a unique story when it comes to what brought you to this place in life. You're a longtime island resident, and you've had a number of experiences away from the island and then came back in your young adulthood and are on this mission to work with kids and boys in our community. And I'm a little curious about the story arc, what it was that brought Alex from where he was as a youth to where he is now as a young adult working with even younger adults and boys in our schools.
That's a great question. And it kind of spans over about a 10-year length of time. I left when I was 17. I had just graduated high school and was really excited to go out and see the world, travel, explore, go to college and play sports. And my, trying to think about the reason that I really am back home, it feels as though there's kind of three different influences that really led me back to Vashon doing the work that I do. And first of all, it was really my experience as a teenager. Those years for me were some of the most challenging of my life. And many people may not have known that. Like, I had good grades in high school. I was successful playing sports and had a lot of friends. So in many of the standard ways of viewing success in a student, I was checking the boxes. But I was also struggling with a lot of internal turmoil about insecurity, body image issues, and masking a lot of those issues with substance abuse. And keeping it quite secretive from a lot of the adults in my life. Mm-hmm. So that really was a formative part of my experience as a young person. And then moving forward, I started studying education at University of Oregon and really started to become passionate about working with young people. And over the course of the past 7 years, I've been a school teacher. I've taught PE. I've taught classroom. I've done high school. I've done elementary. I've done inner city with very at-risk youth and then more rural settings like Vashon. And everywhere I went, whether it was in the United States, Germany, Argentina, every school that I taught at, there was a massive issue with the boys. Behavior issues with the boys acting up, the way the boys that were treating girls in school. And then in the older grades, high school and stuff, substance abuse issues, suspension, expulsion. And then, I also had a job down in San Mateo at a transitional school for kids mm-hmm. that had been expelled from their district high schools. And it was kind of the last chance opportunity for them to continue staying in school before getting incarcerated in juvenile hall. Mm-hmm. And so across the map, it was just this red flag of like boys are crying for help, not literally, mm-hmm. but, showing so many signs of needing extra support.
Yeah.
And then the final piece for me was really kind of zooming out even further and just feeling very honestly infuriated with some of the things that are happening in our culture and our society. Things like mass shootings in schools, police brutality where people are losing their lives, the Me Too movement and so many women speaking up about what they've experienced at often the hands of violent and abusive men. Mm-hmm. And then the political climate and just so many things are so charged right now. And I really, I did a lot of soul searching a few years ago, wondering around like, what can I do as one person to try and address some of these things that make me so angry? And it was around that time where I really started to put all the pieces together of like the unhealthy masculine narrative that we're seeing on the grand scale, and then these boys acting up on like my personal experience as a teacher, and then connecting the dots to, oh yeah, how did I behave as a teenager? And really feeling that we needed to do more outside of what we're already doing in the school setting and focusing so much on academics. And so that's really where my personal passion towards co-creating Journeymen really began to solidify and crystallize. And yeah. It was around a similar time that my best friend, one of my best friends, Nikki Wilkes, had kind of planted a seed with me. And we started having conversations around this stuff. And at the time, I was living in Germany, he was living in Costa Rica, and we were just on opposite sides of the world, and it didn't really sync up. But that was kind of where the seed was planted when we started having these conversations. And then fast forward a couple of years, I was in between jobs in San Francisco. He was back living on Vashon. And this really serendipitous moment happened. I was on the sidelines of a lacrosse game coaching one of my middle school teams down in San Francisco. And I just had a conversation with one of the parents. And he was asking about my life. And I had just landed a new temporary teaching job down in San Francisco. And I told him about it. And I said, you know, it's not my dream job, but it's a good fit for now. And he bounced back with, well, what is your dream job? And I ended up sharing a bit about our ideas with Journeymen. And he ended up sharing that with some family friends who happened to want to support what we're doing. And they invited us to their house to hear more. And so Nikki flew down from Vashon. I came over to their place from San Francisco. They were Bay Area natives. And that really kind of forced us to put together a very official business plan and really kind of make it a little more concrete than just this idea brainstorming that we had been doing for the past year or so.
Right. Two guys with a great idea. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that was such a blessing to like be prompted into action, like, oh my goodness, so here's these people that really want to hear about what we're trying to do. And that forced us to get the momentum going. And one thing led to another, and they were very supportive of the idea and basically helped with seed funding to basically get our wheels in motion. And their one caveat was that they were concerned that we were going to split our energies by me being in the Bay and Nikki up here in Washington. And they said the only way that they would fund us is if we were to focus on one region and expand from that central point. And at that time I was like, okay, well, why am I really here in San Francisco? What's preventing me from moving back to Vashon and getting this going? So after, you know, about a week of reflection and really kind of considering what's most important to me at this chapter, I made the move and I came back to Vashon 10 years later.
Wow.
And here I am.
Awesome.
And the story begins from there.
Yes, sir.
A new story begins from there. Well, awesome. So far we've talked a little bit about how Journeyman has sort of come into being. I'm curious now. I mean, certainly I know because I'm involved, but I'm curious to hear a little bit about what Journeyman is. What is it to you as one of the two founders? You know, what do we do in Journeyman? Why is it important? And just some background around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our mission statement is that we build compassionate, resilient, and inspired young men through nature-based rites of passage, ongoing mentorship, and community engagement. And so those three pieces are really the core of what we do. We do ongoing mentorship. We have in-school mentoring programs called Circles, where we meet with boys at the middle, elementary, and high school levels once a week for about an hour. And we sit in circle, and we check in with each other, see what's going on in each other's lives, offer support to one another, and also really explore different themes and topics around becoming healthy young adults. Things like integrity, things like compassion, things like rejection and anger and love and sadness, and really exploring a lot of these universal themes that sometimes we aren't given permission to explore in the classroom or even at home. And so that's one of the favorite pieces of the work that we do for me, because we get to see these boys every week for the whole school year. And there's really just this continuous support system where we get to hold each other accountable and watch the growth over the course of a year. And for some of the boys that stay more involved over the course of their time in school on Vashon.
What is it like to do that in the elementary school level?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when we first got it started, I didn't know what it was going to be like. We had originally targeted middle and high school boys for the work that we do with Journeymen. And in conversations, we thought it would actually be really effective and more preventative to also start those in fourth and fifth grade, the later grades of the elementary school. Because in the middle and the high school, often what it felt like was putting out fires.
Yeah.
There was all these issues. Kids were using substances. Kids were getting in fight. They were flipping off teachers. And, oh, gosh, we need support, so we're going to do this thing. Whereas with the elementary school, these kids aren't having these blowouts yet. A lot of the kids that are going to be receiving the support are really just kind of approaching that transition into adolescence and middle school. And so it's very different energetically at the elementary school than the other two groups. And I think it's because we are, it's more of a preventative approach.
Cool. So walk us through a little bit of maybe what a middle school circle might look like. If we're doing that support, running those programs in the schools, what does that actually look like? What are the participants doing, and you know, how does that work as far as schedule?
So with the scheduling piece, that's kind of like my least favorite part of the whole thing, is trying to find a way to squeeze this very sacred process into a rigid scheduled school system. But we get just about an hour, and almost everything that we do is within the shape of a circle. So we have lots of different experiential games that we'll often start off with to get the boys engaged and moving and in their bodies. And then sometimes we'll do some different fitness or exercise, and finally some mindfulness, some breathing, and to help them get centered before actually starting our sharing circle, because it is quite challenging to transition from the busyness of the middle school hallways, for anybody who's walked through McMurray, they may know how crazy it is out there, into a very still, quiet, peaceful, respectful circle. It takes some practice. So we'll get harness their energy with a game, and then do some breathing to kind of recenter ourselves. But usually the main piece of what we start with is with a check-in. And that's really to check in with ourselves to see how we're feeling and what's going on inside of us, but also to check in with the other people in the circle to stay connected and to stay involved in each other's lives. And that one feels really important to me, because I feel like culturally we have these unspoken rules that boys and men can express anger and happiness, like excitement and joy and and anger. Those are totally acceptable emotions for boys to have, but the range of other emotions are often discarded or unmanly or uncelebrated.
Yeah.
They don't express their sadness, their shame, their guilt, their fear. And what does that lead to? Like, that leads to so many troublesome things, whether that's depression and anxiety, or you know, outward explosive anger and violence or substance abuse to mask a lot of these things that they've just been holding in by themselves. So for us to really encourage them to shift out of their headspace and really connect to their heart and feel into what's going on inside of me right now, and how can I put that to words? How can I communicate with my peers and my mentors, like what's truly going on in my life? We talk a lot about how in everyday life, when people say, "How are you doing?" they notice. Adults always say good. And like what we've been socialized to do. If any, you know, you go to the grocery store and you say, see people at Thriftway and they say, "How are you doing?" Good, even though you're having the worst day ever.
Right.
Yeah.
And so in circle, we remind them like, hey, this isn't Thriftway. This is a chance where we actually get to think about that question and answer it honestly, because rarely do humans do that anymore. Actually answer, "How are you?"
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah. Nobody wants that I'm doing.
Whoa, why did you tell me your grandma died? I didn't ask how you're doing. Oh, wait, I did.
Right, yeah, it's more like just a hello way of saying hello.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Do the boys come on the, is it open or do they want to come?
Yes, that's a great question. So this stems from Nikki and I's personal experience as rebellious youth. We recognize that if we tell or kind of strong arm any kind of support, that boys are just going to immediately resist. And so everything that we do comes with an invitation. Their families are notified about this layer of support, and the boys get to come to a very first intro session where we don't kind of keep it very formal with the circle, but more intro games, mm-hmm. answer questions, let them know a bit about what the school year flow is going to be like, and basically tell them, you're invited, we would love to have you, but this isn't a requirement, and they get to decide. And what we found is the buy-in is so much better if we give them the choice versus staff at the school saying, oh, yep, you have to do this thing, you got to go every week.
Yeah.
It's energetically, it's a big shift.
Yeah, yeah. I was involved I am involved now, but also was involved last year. And one of the things that I noticed was when word got out, participants in the group were talking to their friends, and their friends were coming up and saying, "Hey, how do I get into that group? That sounds really awesome. How do I do that?" So that sort of Pied Piper effect of, "Hey, one person leads, and other people sort of tuck in and follow in." It's been great, just creating that sort of invitation space. So cool.
Yeah. One thing I will add to that, Woody, currently we're, relatively limited in how many circles we're offering at each school and how many kids mm-hmm. we're able to support just because of the size of our organization and then funding through the district. But our hope and dream is that eventually this becomes a layer of support that's available and actually a part of the school schedule for every single kid on Vashon, mm-hmm. boys, girls, gender non-binary. Because currently we're, identifying youth that staff and administrators and school counselors feel like could use this extra layer of support. Mm-hmm. But my belief is that every student could use this layer of support.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all people can use this layer. Yeah. Support.
Totally. Right? Totally. Have a safe circle to be in.
Yeah. Right. So I do know also that there's a growing group of women on the island that have started having conversations around how to offer this layer of support for other youth in the schools. And one of them is operating under the name the Sisterhood. I think the Sisterhood Project, but they're getting things going at the middle school here as we speak, actually.
Nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Wonderful.
Cool. Well, there's one more sort of thing that I wanted to focus on, and that is we talked a lot about circles and schools, but there are a number of other aspects of training and out-of-school opportunities for youth and adults who may want to be mentors or work on facilitation skills, that kind of thing. And I would just ask that you talk a little bit about those pieces, because at least my understanding of the Journeyman Institute is it's a bigger spectrum than just a work in schools.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And that's honestly kind of like feels like a separate world from what we do in the school setting, because mm-hmm. our springs and summers are jam packed with what we call our wilderness rites of passage or nature-based rites of passage. Mm-hmm. And that is really a chance to ceremonially mark and celebrate an important life transition for these young people. So for our middle school boys, they're going through adolescence, they're stepping into a new chapter of their life developmentally. And then with our high school guys, we're really marking their transition into young adulthood. My belief is that the Western society doesn't really do that anymore.
Yeah. That's one of those things. It's like the sort of marks of a rite of passage are you get your driver's license, you have sex for the first time, you get drunk with your friends, mm-hmm. There's really sort of artificial markers.
Well, there are a few in different, like bar mitzvah, or
exactly.
mitzvah, sure. or like
quinceañeras.
It's true.
Yeah.
But,
true.
There is a lack of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially for people of European descent. It's like, what are most Anglo-Saxon Americans doing to honor their young people as they celebrate their transition into adulthood? Mm-hmm. You named a few, Woody, and then I think of like high school graduations and things like that. And yes, that's wonderful. But like, how many people remember what these different traditions even mean? Like when we move the tassel on our hat to the other side, like what does that even represent? Mm-hmm. So a lot of these traditions have lost their meaning or aren't truly transformative for young people anymore. And what we found since starting Journeymen is that a lot of people, when they hear that we do rites of passage, they have no clue what that means in the modern context. Mm. And a part of that's for a reason. We definitely keep some of what we do a mystery, because if every boy that comes into our offerings knows what to expect, it's not going to have the same impact.
Yeah, right, like right. It has to be hard in some way. Challenging.
Totally, yeah. So that's one thing that we've definitely taken from our mentors and the research that we've done, is that every rite of passage, every initiation has a form of challenge or risk embedded into it. And honestly, from a standpoint that's still connected with my youth and adolescence, that's one of my favorite parts of the work, is like co-creating those types of challenges and risks that are going to be engaging to the young people, but not like physically dangerous, while still stretching them outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I'll give one example, and I don't think I'm sharing too many secrets here or anything, but for our high school guys that do the quest, which is what our 10-day rite of passage is called for the high school age, their challenge is a 24-hour solo on the mountain. And so we prep them in the front few days for building a shelter, learning how to make fire if there's no fire ban, and really getting them ready to do 24 hours out on the mountain, out in the North Cascades. And for that time, they also fast. So they're going 24 hours without food, without human contact. And it is incredible to watch the transformation that happens over those 24 hours and to hear their stories when they come back to the base camp.
Wow. Nice.
Just gives me chills. I noticed in your website that there was a lot of talk about the hero's journey, and I was wondering if you can explain what that means.
Yeah, so that book is written by Joseph Campbell, and you know, his work and many other authors like Michael Mead and Robert Bly, and then more recently, Dr. Arna Rubinstein, who's based out of Australia, has really impacted a lot of the work that we do. And in many ways, the common themes is that these young people leave. They leave their community. They leave to go on this epic adventure and explore, to find themselves, to find the world, to learn more about their beliefs about the world and their values, and ultimately end up returning back home to share the gifts that they have harvested. And I'll share just a very short story about my own kind of hero's journey. Mm-hmm. I went on a vision quest, which is kind of an adult rite of passage of sorts. And I remember I was encouraged to consider like to consider gifts for my community. What are some gifts for my people? And I remember I was like so literally caught up on that invitation that I was like brainstorming, like making necklaces or finding cool rocks to give. And I'm like looking in this high desert that just has nothing but giant brown rocks. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to give my people? And then I had this epiphany and I'm like, oh, I'm the gift. Like, my being is the gift for my people. Right. Like, the inner qualities of myself are the gifts that I need to bring home. Like, I don't need to, like, it's me. I'm the gift. So, like, just that realization, it's like, oh, yeah, I matter. Like, I'm worth something and I have something to offer. And just the importance of that return to really come back to community, and how that feeds ourselves and how that regenerates our community through the inspiration that we've garnered over our travels or inner adventure, whatever your journey looks like, but to really bring it back home.
Nice.
So, Alex, as we close this, I'm curious for the parents that are listening. I mean, both of my kids are grown and growing. They're sort of out of the range now. But I think, man, if I had a middle schooler, if I had an elementary schooler, I'd be like chomping at the bit right now. I'd be like, oh, that sounds awesome. You know, I want this for my child. How can folks get involved or find out more about what's going on with the Journeyman Institute?
Yeah, great question. So our website is www.journeymen.us. There's tons of great info on there for some of the different events that we do. I can say that we are always in need of more mentors. And I know one thing that often people have is this idea that they need to be perfect to be a mentor. And I just want to invite people to let that go. Like, our own stories, our own wounds and challenges in life are often what the young people need to hear. Mm-hmm. So just showing up authentically and vulnerably for young people is really all we need to do as mentors, and to really model self-care and just communicate open-heartedly. Nice. So there's tons of ways to get involved. We have our next mentor training is in January, so it's a couple months out. Mm-hmm. And that's specifically for people to get involved at our in-school mentoring groups, circles. And then also for people, parents of young people on the island, we have the Quest for high school age students, which is every summer, 10 days. We have Wayfinders Weekend, which is designed specifically for middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. And then for anybody out there that's looking for a chance to connect with their son on a father-son dynamic, we also have a father and son camp out once a spring, which is a really beautiful way to kind of solidify that connection between father and son before the empty nest, so to speak, before they move off and become a young adult.
Right, right.
And one,
right.
Just to clarify, is that just for Vashon boys, or is that for anyone in Puget Sound, or anyone?
Anyone, anywhere. So the only things currently that's just Vashon is the in-school mentoring groups, which we hope to expand next school year. But right now, all of our summer and spring offerings are open beyond the coastal shores of Vashon. And so we've had people from Florida, we've had California, we've had Issaquah, Bainbridge, Seattle, Tacoma, Portland. So it's growing. It's nice. It's starting to take off, which is really exciting.
Well, and that was the whole idea, right? Base in one region and get the program up and running, and then start to grow its legs out from beyond that. So awesome. Alex, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us. And
yeah, I'm so excited for what you're doing.
We'll be hearing more about what's going on with Journeyman and Alex in future episodes.
Thanks for joining Peggy and Woody on Island Tribe. For more great parenting tips and information, go to voiceofvashon.org under shows and hosts, and look for Island Tribe.